everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Murder Mystery Shack. For this episode, we're going to delve into something a little bit more spookier than I usually like to do because I get super freaked out. But this story is super interesting. You know, I said previously that I do not watch scary movies, and I really don't. Like, the only few movies, I think the last horror movie that I've watched was either The Witch, where there's like a billy goat that turns into Satan, I think, and my friend was like super attracted to him, or Annabelle, like the second one. But like, literally, I have nightmares on days because I will literally not think about it all day until I get home, go to bed, and I sit there and just like ponder in my thoughts. Literally ponder in my thoughts, right? And then you start thinking of every fucking scary shit that you've seen, if there's something in the corner staring at you back, like, you know, and then it's just never in your cycle. So I just don't even do that to myself anymore. I just avoid scary things. But don't worry, I'll bring you all the good stories. So today's episode, we'll be covering the real story behind The Haunting of Connecticut 2, number 2, which, like I said, haven't seen them. The movie was based on this real story. Now, I don't know how many of you guys have seen it, but it's still quite an interesting story nonetheless. And here I am, ready to butcher another name. But this takes place in the town of Ellerslie, Georgia. And it's this really small town located in southern Harris County, just north of the Columbus city limits. Now, this is a really small town. Like, nothing happens much here. And this is why parents, Andrew and Lisa, decided to move their family, or move them and their 8-year-old daughter, Heidi, back in 1989. Now, this was like a 3-bedroom brick home. Nothing special, just a typical home in the small town of Georgia. Small town in Georgia. This was like a dream come true for the couple, because they, at their age, they were really young. I think they were in the 21 or so. Of course, they couldn't afford much else in a bigger city. Now, when they found this home, it was just like a miracle to them. The house itself was actually abandoned by its previous owners. Now, they didn't ask because, of course, like I said, this was heaven sent from them. It was in their budget. It had a big backyard. It was perfect. Now, they only had their 8-year-old daughter, Heidi, at the time. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of other kids, but it was fine because they had a huge backyard and Heidi could play by herself. Now, what makes this story so special is because Heidi, shortly after moving in, started seeing strange things. Heidi one day would tell her parents that she saw this elderly man with long gray hair, wearing a suit and tie and shiny black shoes. Heidi claimed that the gentleman would come to the property and talk to her, play with her, and she told him that the man told her that his name was Mr. Gordy. And they frequently talked, and he would tell her stories and sit on the swings with her and hold her hand at time. Now, her parents at this point were just like, the fuck, you know, but it's just like, it's a little girl. It's probably just like her imaginary friend. Like, it wasn't anything malicious. And of course, Heidi's just an 8-year-old girl. So, you know, kids make weird shit up, you know. So her parents just brushed it off. Now, of course, parents thought this was weird, but they didn't think much of it other than imaginary friend. They decided to keep an eye on their daughter, just because if it so happened to be a random fucking strange old man playing with their daughter, they would obviously want to know. But of course, they would often see her just talking to herself or on the swings by herself, talking to someone, and of course, there would be no one there. Eventually, Heidi kept up with the story forever. Like, it was consistent, and that's why the parents thought it was just an imaginary friend. Until Heidi told them of another visitor that came around the property. And this one would come wearing a t-shirt soaked in blood and wearing a bandage. Now, Heidi told them that this man was at the front door, only for her father to open the door and find no one there. So her dad actually took like a gun and like searched the property, but he found no one. There's no one that fit the description. They didn't find any man around the property. Lisa's sister ended up actually moving next door to them, or around the same neighborhood in the same town. And Lisa would tell her sister about Heidi's experiences and what she was seeing and whatnot. So things took a little creepier turn when Lisa's sister did some research. So they found out that the sister, that the home once belonged to a Columbus real estate agent named James S. Gordy, who passed away in 1974. And the description that Heidi had given her parents about Mr. Gordy fit the description of the passed away real estate agent that owned their home previous to them. Of course, the family then did a little bit more digging and discovered that the home next door was once owned by a woman named Catherine Ledford, and who had an uncle named Loncon Batchelor. Now, Batchelor had once mauled his hand in a cotton gin accident and passed away in 1957. Further digging, the family was able to locate these pictures of Con, and they matched those of the of Heidi's description. So all this information, all these pictures just kept matching up to these mysterious ghost friends that Heidi had made up and told her parents about. So this is where her parents were just like, okay, that's kind of weird, because is our daughter seeing ghosts? The family then contacted a parapsychologist named Dr. William Roll, who came to the family's home to investigate the occurrences. Dr. Roll located some photos of Mr. Gordy, the real estate agent that owned the house before, mixed him in with some other similar man that looked like Mr. Gordy, and Heidi was able to pinpoint which exactly was the photo of Mr. Gordy. Dr. Roll was then certain that Heidi was seeing spirits. While a bit spooky, it seemed that the spirits Heidi was seeing did not have any harmful intent towards the family or Heidi herself. But things took a really weird turn. Got pregnant with the family's second child. The pregnancy seemed to stir up something within the spirits or whatever was there. It just did not like the idea, I guess, of babies. It doesn't like babies. I don't know. Who can blame them? Now, Heidi, at this point, tells her family that she feels scared at this new spirits that she keeps seeing. Heidi tells her parents that she would see this shadowy figure in her room and it would follow her around. It would lurk in the hallways of her home. After this, after some time, some poltergeist-like activity would occur. These included items being thrown around the house, unexplainable sounds, and the activity continued and escalated to the point of what had described a physical attack against the dad and Heidi herself. When Heidi's sister was born, the activity only continued. The family reported that one morning they awoke to find Heidi with scratches across her face. Her father one day had 3 deep gashes on the side of his body. Now, finally, the family was just like, we need to move the hell out of this house. This house is haunted as shit, probably. However, they had whatever inhabited this house decided to leave with them. So there at their new house or wherever they stayed, the attacks only continued. A story that the family once reported was that one night Heidi was picked up by her feet and lifted up in the air by the angry spirit. And I was watching this documentary that talked to the parents, which is free on YouTube. You can just search up the Wyrick home. But the mom and the aunt and Heidi, I mean, Heidi's like a teenager in the documentary, kind of talks about how they are natural mediums. It runs in their family to be able to see these things. The mom was explaining that Heidi was the one that has been able to pick up all this activity a lot more than any of prior generation has before. So they just believe that she is the strongest medium in her family bloodline at the moment, of course. She, I believe, just sees stuff. Heidi even talks about Mr. Gordy. And later on, they did ask a pastor to come down and cleanse the home, but that didn't work out as well. Now, Heidi is an older, like when she was being interviewed, she said that she can sense if it's an evil presence or if it's a good presence. If I can sense evil, you wouldn't believe the feelings you can get. I've been literally sick to my stomach. Despite her encounters with the paranormal, Heidi went on to live a seemingly normal life. She got married. She has kids of her own now. And after all the media attention her story received, Heidi was able to connect with multiple people who shared similar experience of the supernatural as she did. Now, I don't, like I said, a lot of people speculate that this was just like a bunch of hooey, that this wasn't true. But I feel like a lot of these stories like a lot of these poltergeist stories always have that reaction to people. There's people that are going to believe in this stuff and there's people that are not going to. And it all become like it all comes down to what you believe in, I guess I would want to say. Like, I was trying to have this conversation with my brother-in-law once of, because he's an atheist, and I'm like, well, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe in demons? And he's like, well, I don't want to get into this conversation without getting, like, you know, if there's good or bad or blah, blah, blah. This story's fucking crazy, and I'm kind of scared now, but I know I'm going to be thinking about this later. But I hope you guys are thinking about this later, too, with me, so I'm not alone. I just want to give everybody a heads up that my podcast icon will be changing. I wanted it to get something more memorable and something more finalized. I did, like I said, get something just because I didn't know how well this would take off, but it's taken off fairly well, so I decided to actually invest and get some kick-ass graphic designer to make me a new icon. So if you see that, don't get alarmed. It's just my new icon logo, and I hope you guys like it. Stay around and listen to more of my ramblings. Have a good one, y'all, and stay groovy.